Okay, let's unpack this. We've got a stack of sources here detailing a truly critical security situation. It's one that should probably keep anyone running large-scale data centers up at night.
Definitely. The alert involves enterprise infrastructure, really fundamental stuff.
Yeah, and if it's compromised, the attackers don't just get access. They essentially establish a permanent, undetectable hardware rootkit. It's pretty scary stuff.
That's really the core of the threat, yeah. We're doing a deep dive into these newly discovered vulnerabilities affecting Supermicro's Baseboard Management Controller, or BMC. And the gravity here is, well, it's clear. These flaws let attackers inject persistent backdoors that survive literally everything.
Everything, like system reboots.
System reboots, complete operating system reinstalls, even replacing your hard drives. Doesn't matter.
Wow. So if your traditional security stack, your antivirus, your kernel monitoring can't even see it.
You're effectively running blind.
Yeah, this is basically firmware warfare.
It really is. So our mission today is to break down the mechanics of this threat. We need to understand why it achieves such a frightening persistence and detail the urgent steps organizations need to take based on the technical analysis you shared.
Okay, let's start at the beginning. Maybe for listeners who don't live and breathe data center architecture day in, day out, Supermicro is a massive player right there.
Huge, yeah. They manufacture the physical backbone for countless enterprise data centers. Think servers, motherboards.
Right, the core hardware. But walk us through the function of this baseboard management controller. What exactly is this BMC thing?
So the BMC is often described as a computer within a computer. It's a dedicated chip, has its own little processor and firmware built right onto the server motherboard, its main job, letting system administrators monitor health, temperature, fans, power, and crucially, manage the system remotely.
Even when the main server is powered off.
Exactly, even when it's completely off.
That remote capability is the key then. They call that out-of-band management, I think.
That's the term, yeah, out of band. It's always on, always listening, and it operates completely independently of the server's main operating system. So you see, if an attacker compromises the BMC firmware,
They've got the ultimate backdoor.
pretty much the ultimate persistent access point. Traditional malware, the stuff that runs on the OS level, it just cannot match the control and the stealth that the BMC access provides. It is quite literally the keys to the kingdom.
Okay, let's dig into the first critical flaw that the binarly researchers found. This isn't just some new zero day. It sounds like a really brilliant workaround. Let's talk CVE 2024-10CM27.
Right. So this vulnerability represents a sophisticated bypass of a previous security fix, one that Supermicro had actually put in place earlier in the year. The original fix was meant to restrict how custom firmware maps could be manipulated.
Firmware maps. Those are like instruction tables.
Exactly. They tell the system how to interpret firmware data during updates. Attackers were messing with them. So Supermicro added validation checks to try and block these manipulations.
Okay, so they built a wall. How did the attackers, or well, the researchers in this case, get past it without setting off alarms?
Ah, they didn't climb the wall. It's more like they ran so fast the guard didn't even see them sneak past the gate. Binarly found a highly sophisticated, timing-based attack.
A timing attack.
Yeah, this is where the technical detail gets really fascinating.
Give us the rundown on that timing attack. How do you exploit timing in firmware?
Okay, so the malicious firmware maps, they get injected at precisely the right nanosecond. It has to be before the legitimate vendor maps have fully loaded and set up the verified memory structure. This timing lets the attacker define their own signed regions in specific ways. They can relocate or replace legitimate kernel or config data within the firmware image itself.
Wait a minute. If they replace or relocate content, wouldn't the server immediately flag that? Like the digital signature or the hash values of the firmware would be wrong during verification, surely?
That's what's so clever and kind of scary about it. The technique is precise enough that it allows this relocation or replacement while maintaining the cryptographic integrity of the overall firmware blob. So the hash checks out.
It still passes.
It still passed. Think of it like this. If the BMC is the lock and the firmware is the key,
Okay.
the attackers didn't pick the lock. They basically cloned the key without ever touching the original mold. So the lock still thinks it's being opened by the legitimate key.
That is, wow, a staggering level of sophistication. Successfully fooling the digital verification process even after malicious code is in there.
Exactly. And Supermicro assigned a separate CVE, CVE 2025-7937, specifically to track this bypass technique itself.
It really shows the complexity of this hardware security arms race, doesn't it?
It absolutely does.
So if that timing attack was about speed and stealth, our sources suggest the next flaw, CVE-2025-6198, is more about precision, a direct assault on the system's core integrity. This is the one described as even more serious.
It is, yeah. This second flaw targets really fundamental security structures. It specifically goes after the authentication logic within a function called authBMC. And this function operates deep within the motherboard's OPT environment.
OPT. Okay, for our listeners, can you quickly define what OPT is?
Sure. OPT stands for Open Portable Trusted Execution Environment. Think of it as a secure, isolated partition right in the system hardware. It's designed specifically to run sensitive operations like authentication, encryption, totally separate from the main operating system.
It's supposed to be impenetrable.
Supposed to be. So how did the exploit work in this supposedly impenetrable zone?
Well, the flaw exploits a weakness in how signed regions get validated. The source material shows that the firmware image itself defines which regions actually need signature checks.
The image defines its own checks.
Kind of, yes. So if an attacker can control that definition part.
I see where this is going. They can manipulate critical kernel components, they can move the original data off to some unused firmware space, and crucially, they can ensure the data digests they present for verification still come up valid.
This sounds like a direct hit on the most fundamental security concept there is, the root of trust.
That's exactly what it is. The root of trust is, well, it's the foundation of hardware security. It's the very first code that executes when the system starts up. Its entire job is to ensure that only legitimate, verified firmware runs. Everything else, security-wise, depends on the integrity of this root.
So if the root of trust fails here, are we saying the server is effectively lying to itself about the code it's actually running?
That is precisely the implication, yes. And the research confirmed this failure. They were actually able to flash custom kernel code onto affected systems, which demonstrates that kernel authentication doesn't happen properly during boot.
Meaning the root of trust feature is compromised.
It confirmed that this vital root of trust feature only gives partial protection, at least against an attacker with this level of deep firmware knowledge. Compromising this means your most fundamental layer of defense is basically untrustworthy, and that has catastrophic security implications for the whole enterprise environment.
Okay, let's connect these incredibly complex technical details back to the real world. Let's summarize the impact for an organization managing a data center full of this super micro hardware. First, that unmatched persistence and stealth we mentioned.
Yeah, persistence is the key word. Malicious firmware survives everything. Full OS reinstalls, long power off periods, and according to the sources, maybe even replacing some physical components.
Because it lives below the OS.
Exactly. Because the compromise lives below the OS level, traditional defenses, your antivirus, your endpoint detection and response, EDR, they're completely blind. It's a totally invisible form of compromise to standard monitoring tools.
So for the IT manager listening, if this compromised BMC is just sitting there, essentially as a silent second computer, it's like having a ghost IT admin permanently logged in.
It's actually worse than a ghost. It's a hyper-privileged, invisible administrator who never logs off, one who controls the power state, who can potentially intercept data flowing across the hardware itself. And what's more, in an enterprise environment, these vulnerabilities enable devastating lateral movement.
How so?
Attackers can use the management network access the BMC provides to pivot, to move sideways and establish control over entire data center infrastructures.
And the sources also flag a massive supply chain risk here too, right?
Absolutely. Huge risk. Once a BMC is compromised, that malicious firmware could potentially spread. Imagine it spreading to other systems during routine maintenance or component replacements, especially if admins are, say, using a compromised system to flash new firmware on supposedly clean ones.
That's a nightmare scenario. Which brings us to the critical question of detection. If this compromise lives below the OS, why do standard security tools fail so badly? And what does detection actually require?
Well, standard security tools, your host-based firewalls, intrusion detection systems, they're focused entirely on the OS level and above.
Yeah.
They look at application behavior, memory access, file integrity, you know, within the Windows or Linux environment.
Correct.
They're simply not engineered to peek into the SPI flash memory where that BMC firmware lives.
So if an incident response team walks into a suspected breach, they can't just run a standard scan and find this. What kind of specialized knowledge or tools do they actually need?
Investigating these kinds of attacks requires deep highly specialized technical expertise. You need people skilled in binary analysis of firmware blobs, people capable of using hardware-level debugging tools like JTAG. Sometimes you might even need to physically access and read the SPI flash chip itself.
And that timing bypass makes it even harder.
Exactly. The sophistication of that timing-based bypass, where the hash stays valid, it means you can't even rely on standard cryptographic checks to tell you something's wrong. Honestly, even experienced security professionals struggle without this specialized hardware and the right analysis capability.
And remediation sounds just as complicated because of that persistence. You mentioned standard fixes, like reimaging the system, just don't cut it.
That's the core strategic challenge. Since the compromise lives in the BMC firmware chip itself, wiping the hard drive and reinstalling the OS is, well, it's meaningless for this threat. Even replacing main motherboard components might not work if the BMC chip is separate but still compromised somehow.
And this isn't just theoretical.
No, not at all. CISA has actually documented real-world exploitation of similar BMC vulnerabilities in the past. This confirms these are active threats, not just, you know, academic research project. Plus, there's also the operational risk of mass bricking events.
Bricking? You mean rendering the servers useless?
Yeah. If organizations try to flash or repair the firmware without the proper expertise, they could potentially corrupt it, rendering entire racks of servers completely inoperable.
Okay, so where do things stand now with the vendor response, and why is the urgency level so high right now?
So Supermicro has acknowledged both vulnerabilities, that's good, and they've released firmware updates. However, the urgency is extreme, really, because Binarly has already released proof-of-concept exploits for both of these flaws.
Proof-of-concept code is out there.
It's out there, which means organizations with affected Supermicro hardware, particularly systems using BMC firmware and certain server motherboards in their X13 series, like the X13 SEMF model mentioned, they need to prioritize these updates immediately, like now.
But we all know firmware updates in big enterprise environments are never fast or easy, right? They have to be tested so thoroughly.
Precisely. That's the practical hurdle. Firmware updates can take weeks, sometimes months in large environments. You've got rigorous testing, change management processes. You absolutely cannot risk disrupting critical services by rushing a firmware update.
So what do they do in the meantime?
It means organizations need immediate strategic defenses in place while those patches are being carefully tested and rolled out. You need protection during that vulnerable window.
Okay. Based on the sources, what are the absolute must-do steps organizations need to take right now to manage this specific risk?
All right. The strategic defense has to go deeper than the OS layer. That's the main takeaway. First, you need to establish comprehensive firmware security programs. Use firmware integrity monitoring solutions tools designed specifically to detect unauthorized modifications in that pre-boot environment before the OS even loads. Second, conduct regular hardware auditing programs. This often requires specialized third-party expertise, people who really understand firmware security.
And what about immediate actionable steps they can take today?
Okay, number one, apply those Supermicro updates as soon as testing allows, obviously.
Yeah.
But critically, you must implement strong network separation for the management interfaces.
Isolate the BMC network.
Exactly. Ensure that even if an attacker owns the BMC, they can only communicate through that highly restricted management network. Isolate them from your main production data network. That's huge. Also, monitor your BMC access logs like a hawk. Look for any suspicious activity. And finally, if remote BMC access isn't absolutely essential for your day-to-day operations, seriously consider disabling it entirely. Reduce the attack surface.
Right. This whole deep dive really highlights that modern infrastructure security absolutely has to include the hardware layer, not just the software stack we usually focus on.
Mm-hmm.
We've definitely been reminded today that often protection kind of ends where the operating system begins.
That's the big lingering question these flaws really pose, isn't it? They confirm that hardware trust models are constantly under assault by sophisticated actors. So we encourage you, the listener, to really consider how deep into the actual hardware layer does your current security monitoring truly extend? Because the next critical vulnerability isn't likely going to be a simple application flaw you can easily patch. It's probably already living below the surface, maybe in firmware like this, just waiting for the right moment to seize control of your entire infrastructure from the ground up.